Peacock blows, and this is your WWE Money in the Bank 2021 review. I am the Solemn Monster, back on the road. They are not me. Back on the road in Fort Worth, Texas tonight. Back in front of live fans for the first time on pay-per-view since WrestleMania earlier this year. Let's just get this out of the way first, okay? Seriously, Peacock fucking sucks. I've been saying this since the transition over to Peacock when it came to, you know, their getting up or not getting up some of the classic content that was on the network. And I know not everybody cares about that. This is the second straight pay-per-view where I have had streaming issues. Now, the last one wasn't as bad as tonight, and it resolved, I'd say, in about 8 or 9 minutes. Tonight seemed to be a universal outage. It was flickering, and it was going in and out for people. I'd be surprised if WWE didn't give thousands of people epileptic seizures tonight. That feed was going in and out, in and out, in and out, right before the Men's Money in the Bank match. So for me, this is the second pay-per-view in a row, and I know for other people, it's been going on ever since the transition back around WrestleMania time. You would think by now, Peacock, the whole, you know, tie-in with NBC Universal, they'd get their shit together. This is a major streaming service backed by a major media company. Why are these things still happening? Didn't have these issues before with the WWE Network. Peacock, get your shit together. That aside, this was an excellent show tonight. I thought top to bottom, this was an excellent show. When you look at the main event, when you look at the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match, when you look at the Raw Women's Championship match, even what they did in the WWE Championship match, which wasn't much, it was about 5 or 6 minutes of total destruction by Bobby Lashley. It was exactly what it needed to be. The Raw Tag Team title match I thought was very good. In fact, that was even a little bit better than I expected it to be. The one match that, to me, I'm not going to say it sucked, but it was by far at the bottom of the heap when it comes to the matches on tonight's show, was the opening match, the Women's Money in the Bank match. And even that, it wasn't overly offensive. I just didn't think it was really all that good. But this was an absolute thumbs-up pay-per-view. Almost everything delivered exactly as it should have here on this show. Even my predictions, I was only off on the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. That's not the only reason I didn't like that match, by the way. I promise you that's not the only reason I didn't like that match. But anyway, this was a thumbs-up show. Tonight is the night. Been waiting for this for a long time. Been very excited about this. We had, I am happy to say, we had over 2,000 entries in the Wrestle Rumble belt giveaway. You guys came out strong for the Custom Solemonster Sounds Off Championship. Tonight, I will pick one lucky winner at random to claim their prize. This bad boy you see in the graphic right there, that can belong to you. One of only two that have been made. I own one of them. I just showed it off. You can own the other one. The only way to find out if you are going to be that person is if you stick around for the duration of the review. I'm being told in the chat right now that we have already hit 300 likes. So that took about, 9 seconds. So why don't we shoot for 500? Hell, let's make that the goal. 500. And you guys will let me know if we hit that in the chat and we'll keep bumping it up. Let's see how high we can go. We'll be like Matt Riddle. Let's see how high we can go tonight. By the way, one of my observations about the show as soon as it went on the air tonight, I love the narrower entranceway. WWE, I can't remember the last time that we had a WWE show that had an aisleway that was as narrow as this. And I noticed it because it brings the talent closer to the fans. Some of them were coming out, they were, you know, putting their hands out to slap hands with the fans. Usually you can't do that on a WWE show because there's so much space between the fans, between the crowd and the talent when they come out. It's a little thing, it's a minor thing, but to me, I think it's so much better that way. It just brings them in closer with the talent. So I don't know if that was just a one-time only thing because of where they were tonight. Maybe it had to do with the building. They were in Dickies Arena in Fort Worth, but just a small observation that I noticed when the show started. So I thought that was pretty cool. But let's get right into this here because we got a lot to get into. The kickoff match was for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. We had Rey and Dominic Mysterio defending their titles against the Usos. That was the kickoff match here tonight on this pay-per-view. Rey and Dominic, they were dressed up in suits. They had this weird video before the match when before they made their entrance. They're dressed up in suits. And they step through a CGI portal, I guess from one dimension into the current dimension. And when they step through the portal, we see that they're magically in the building. They're in the arena and they're dressed for combat. I don't know what that was about, but there you go. Apparently they reside in an alternate dimension. Pat McAfee, early on during this match, mentioned that Jimmy Uso was back from rehab. After being away for so long, obviously he was talking about the knee rehab for his ACL injury. But he made the comment that he was back from rehab after being away for so long. And I just thought to myself, not the rehab he needs, unfortunately. Wrong rehab. Sorry, Pat. Pat, by the way, is awesome. Pat had the line of the night a little bit later on in the show after all this Peacock crap. I don't know how many of you picked up on it, but I did. Pat McAfee is a gem. So we'll get to that later. But this was, the match itself was good. Nothing really out of the ordinary. We've seen both these teams, we've seen the Usos have far better matches. But for the finish, Jimmy took the bullet on the 619 for his brother. Jay was about to be nailed by Rey Mysterio. Jimmy jumped up on the apron. He took the bullet. Rey springboarded into a super kick by Jay Uso in the ring. And a Samoan splash off the top, but Rey kicks out. Rey Mysterio kicks out. We had a chance of this is awesome. I thought that was a great near fall. And Jimmy tagged in. He dropped Rey face first on the top turnbuckle. And he rolled up Rey Mysterio, but Jey Uso, and the referee didn't see it, Jey Uso provided a little bit of extra assistance. He was out on the apron. He had his feet, and he was pushing his brother in. So with his feet, he was adding leverage so that Rey couldn't kick out, and Jimmy Uso gets the pin with an assist from his brother. The Usos are now 7-time tag team champions in this company. I don't know what the division is between Raw titles and SmackDown titles. Who cares? They're 7-time champions. That's all that matters. And they even gave Jimmy Uso the winning fall. They let Jimmy Uso be the one to get the winning three count here in this match. Clear the roads, Fort Worth. The Usos are celebrating tonight. They got a party tonight for their big championship win. Clear the roads. Head home early. Don't cross at the crosswalk. It could be dangerous. I hope we don't read about it tomorrow on TMZ. I said this in my predictions when I did my Money in the Bank predictions. What example? What kind of example does that set? This is not the first time, by the way, that one of the Usos, I think it might have been Jimmy, had a DUI or a DWI or something like that. And then not long after, they won the tag team titles. And I thought, well, surely they're not going to do that again. Oh, my goodness. Never underestimate WWE in these situations. They did indeed. And now they are tag team champions. I'd like to say that I'm surprised, but honestly, I'm really not. I know it fits the story. I'm not saying the Usos are a bad team. They're one of the best teams this company has had in over a decade. The Usos are going to go down as one of the great WWE tag teams. They were one of the, I mean, really, when you think back to the last 10, 15 years, tag team wrestling in WWE is not what it was 20, 30 years ago, right? Teams like that are hard to come by. The Usos don't have a lot of competition. It's really the Usos and the New Day, and then it pretty much falls off a cliff. But even still, the Usos, you could drop them in any era, and they would be a very good tag team. So nobody is denying the talent of the Usos and their place in company history. It's the timing of it. And I understand that it plays into the whole bloodline story and the tribal chief and all that. Who cares? WWE has stayed silent for 2 weeks. Not a peep, not a statement, not a comment about the fact that one of their talents was arrested for the fourth or fifth time while being under contract to this company. This is not a one-off situation. And there are people who have been punished for far less. And they have just stayed silent with the hope that I guess this will just go away. Now, maybe we'll come to find out in time that they took certain measures behind the scenes that we were not aware of. Maybe they fined him. Maybe they warned him. Maybe they did something. But right now, we don't know anything. So on the outside looking in, it is a terrible look for this company. And it looks like they're rewarding bad behavior. But hey, it plays into the storyline, right? I had one dumb shit on Twitter call me, he's cussing me out and calling me all kinds of names and saying, "You're an idiot, man. It plays into the story, man." Go back to eating paint chips, okay? They're in the fridge, middle shelf. You fucking moron. Sometimes it's about more than just the story. That's my point. Some people don't understand that. By the way, how do those paint chips taste? I've never dined on paint chips before. Just seeing what it does to people, I can't say I really have an interest in trying it out either. But I got some dust bunnies here on the floor. You can lick those up too when you're done with the paint chips if you're still hungry. Pay-per-view opened with the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. We had Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Nikki Ash, Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, Natalya, and Tamina. Of course, Natty and Tamina being the reigning women's tag team champions. Alexa was skipping around the ring while everybody else was fighting on the outside at the beginning of the match. Crowd loved Alexa Bliss tonight. They loved Alexa Bliss when she pulled off whatever she was wearing to the ring to reveal her bottom. Oh boy, they loved her then. She got one of the biggest pops of the night. But they were into Alexa Bliss. I don't know that they were into some of the magic shit that she was teasing, but they seemed to like Alexa Bliss. She put her hand up at one point, like she was about to wave the briefcase down. And this is what I feared. I feared that she would win. Not that she would win, but that she would win by something like looking up at the briefcase and it would just suddenly release. And it would fall, and she would catch it, and she would be the winner. She would use her magical powers to win the Money in the Bank match. I'm happy to say that I was wrong, and that did not happen. But they did tease it. Tamina ran wild for a little bit there. They gave her some offense, big offensive flurry. She ran wild until she ran into Asuka. And then she wasn't running wild anymore. Brother? We had Alexa Bliss and Zelina Vega. They were on top of the ladder at one point. Bliss hypnotized her. So we did get a little bit of magic. She hypnotized Zelina Vega. They both, at the same time, started climbing down the ladder. But then Alexa went back up while Zelina was still climbing down because she was still in some kind of a hypnotic trance. Crowd didn't seem to like this. You could almost hear an audible groan. It could have been me. But it was the crowd. Bliss tried climbing the ladder. Natty powerbombed her. There was another spot where Zelina was lying face first on a ladder, like a ladder platform set across the bottom rope. And Naomi powerbombed Liv Morgan on top of her, which was pretty cool. Naomi hit a double stunner on Natty and Tamina. There was another spot where Natty was trying to climb the ladder, and Vega jumped on her back. And Natty is still climbing because Zelina Vega is a tiny person. So Natty is able to climb the ladder with this woman on her back. She's got her arm underneath the chin. She's trying to choke her out. Natty's reaching up and she's fading and she's fading and she's fading. So now Vega's trying to grab the briefcase. Liv Morgan, though, pulls them down. Everybody is brawling in the ring until they are all taken out by Nikki Ash. There is a giant ladder set up outside the ring. Everybody is all clustered together on the inside, so you can pretty much tell, okay, somebody's about to dive. Hopefully not die. Someone's about to dive. And Nikki Ash dives off the ladder and wipes everybody out, including Zelina Vega, who was never touched. I guess she felt left out because everybody else went down, and so she decided to go down too. Awful. Awful. And by the way, on the replay, they showed a replay of the Nikki Ash dive from like a hard cam view. And it didn't look like a great dive. It almost looked like she almost like underdid it. But thankfully, they all caught her, because that could have ended really badly for Nikki. But then everybody in the match, a few minutes later, they're outside the ring, and they start burying Alexa Bliss under a pile of ladders. One of the smallest people in the entire match, and they bury her under this mountain of metal. And again, I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, we're going to get some magic here. Alexa's going to, I don't know, the ladders are going to explode, and she's going to do the Undertaker zombie sit-up or something like that. But no. That was the last time that we saw Alexa Bliss in this match. She may still be laying under there for all we know. So they buried her, and that pretty much took her out of the match. So there were ladders, three of them, set up in the ring. And all but Alexa and Nikki climbed the ladders, and they're all brawling on top of the ladders, trying to reach for the briefcase. While they're all fighting, Nikki Ash climbs up one of the ladders and just reaches up and pulls down the briefcase. And just like that, Nikki Cross wins the match. She is the Money in the Bank winner. We had six women. Six. Brawling on top of three ladders. Pretending to reach up and grab the briefcase, which, by the way, they were not. They were swatting at it. I'm watching Tamina, I'm watching some of these women. They're not even trying to reach for it. They're just swatting at it. Like they're playing handball or volleyball. If they were volleyball players, they could be on the Olympic team. They're swatting at the briefcase. Right? Just, woo, swinging it back and forth. Making no real effort to grab it. And Nikki just climbs right up there and just pulls it down. The finish made every single person in this match, except Nikki Ash and Alexa Bliss, who was on the floor, look like a fucking idiot. And it made Asuka look the worst of all, because they showed a replay in slow-mo, and Asuka is right there. She's staring right at Nikki and staring right at the briefcase, trying to pretend maybe that she's not looking, but she's staring right at it, and she's reaching. She's reaching, but she's not doing anything. So this finish looked... it just looked absolutely terrible. This was honestly one of the worst women's Money in the Bank matches that they've ever done. And that's not to say that everything they did in this match was just horrendously awful. They've had some really good women's Money in the Bank matches that I've enjoyed. This one would be at the bottom of the list. This was one of the worst ones that they've done. I don't really remember the one they did on SmackDown, if that was overly good or not, the one that Carmella won. But This was no good. This was no good. The biggest compliment that I can pay to this match is that Naomi, she was the star of this match. Everything that Naomi did, I thought, looked great. She had some of the most innovative spots in the match. The people seemed to be really into her. She was in there and she was doing her thing and she looked great. So Naomi was the real star of this match, in my opinion. But the rest of this was honestly nothing special. And look, I said a few weeks ago, when I talked about the Nikki Ash gimmick, the big makeover, the superhero stuff, I'm not a fan of this gimmick. But I said, when they get back in front of live crowds, if anybody can make this work, I think she can make it work. And I wouldn't write it off as being a total failure, even though I don't like it. Because I think people genuinely want to see her succeed. I think people genuinely like Nikki Cross. They don't need to do the Nikki Ash stuff. Crazy Nikki Cross. People seem to be into her. I think they like her. Maybe the gimmick won't work. Maybe it will. I think if anybody can make it work, she can probably make it work. People seem to be very happy to see her win, even though when she came out, she got a very tepid reaction. But when she won, the crowd popped big for it. I still think the gimmick is no good. But I am at least happy that we didn't have Alexa using her magical powers to pull down the briefcase. So that's my thoughts on the opener. Where are we at, by the way? Give me an update in the chat where we are on the likes. Curious what the current number is. Roman Reigns was in the back with the Usos, who were celebrating their tag team title win earlier with their Velcro belts. My God. They could not, if they tried, make these belts look any cheaper than they do already. Fucking Velcro belts. I had a Velcro belt when I was 8 years old. Remember the world title replicas the WWF would sell that actually looked nothing like the Winged Eagle? It was just like a, it's like an oval with a globe on it. And I used to walk around with that. I bought that and everything. That was a Velcro belt. But I was 8 years old. They look like a bunch of fucking children with these Velcro belts. I had Velcro sneakers when I was a kid, too. Why don't you bring that back? Anyway, they offered their belts to Roman, who said, go ahead and hold on to them for me. Because they were offering their belts to Roman. He said, no, hold on to them for me. He said, winning the tag belts was the easy part. He goes, I did all the heavy lifting. Now comes the tough part, because he's got to face Edge later in the show. But he looked at Jay and he said, you know, I'm the reason that you're even here right now. And then the punchline. He looked over at Jimmy Uso and he said, and you. And the camera panned over to Jimmy, who had this really disappointed look on his face. You could hear some laughter in the background. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Yes, DUI is a funny fucking thing. I think it's hilarious. This is the closest the WWE has come to addressing, by the way, the DUI situation. By poking fun at it and mocking it without directly addressing it here on this pay-per-view. But hey, got some cheap laughs, right? So, hey, it's all for the show. Both Usos took turns sucking up to Reigns, who brought them in for a group hug. By the way, there were also a noticeable chance of boring in the background during this segment. So we got 600. All right, tell you what, let's shoot for 1,000. Let's shoot for 1,000 likes in the chat. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who is tuned in right now. We got just under 2,000 and growing here live on this stream tonight. Thank you for choosing me for your Money in the Bank coverage. If you'd hit that thumbs up, it does help the video out, so I do appreciate it. Let's switch on over now to the Raw Tag Team titles. We talked about the SmackDown Velcro belts. Let's talk about the Raw Velcro belts. We have AJ Styles and Omos defending their titles against the Viking Raiders. Fort Worth, love them. Some AJ Styles here tonight. Wow, he was the babyface, even though I don't believe that his team was supposed to be. Somebody forgot to tell Fort Worth that these guys are supposed to be the heels. Because they loved AJ Styles, and they even seemed to like Omos. They cheered a lot of his offense when he got into the ring. There was a tremendous spot where Omos, AJ was in the ring, and Omos picks him up, and he launches AJ Styles out to the floor onto Eric. And when AJ lands, he hits a Hurricane Rana and takes Eric over. Great spot. And you tend to forget that AJ is in his mid-40s already, or just about his mid-40s. But he's still out there doing his thing. He's still, look, I mean, he may not be the AJ Styles doing everything he did 10 years ago or 12 years ago in TNA or anything, but, you know, he should be doing more than he is. That's my hope. Once they drop the Raw Tag Team titles and he kind of moves on from this whole thing with Omos a few more months, I hope they have some good idea in mind for him, because there's a lot of people that he could work with. There's people they could call up from NXT that he could work with. I want to see AJ go back to doing the singles thing. And it's only a matter of time before he ends up as a babyface anyway. If nothing else, the fans are going to command that AJ go back to being a babyface. But Styles tagged in Omos, who press slammed Ivar. Eric and Ivar knocked Omos over the top rope. They knocked Omos over the top rope. And Eric brought Omos down to his knees with a dive through the ropes. Back inside, Ivar ducked a phenomenal forearm, and AJ ate the Viking Experience, where Eric propelled him up into the air, and Ivar caught him on the way down with the power slam. It looked like they had the match won, but Omos was back up on the apron. He shoved Eric backwards into Ivar, which broke up the pin. So Omos won it for the champs with a tree slam. to Eric, and the crowd popped huge. This was exactly what it needed to be. It was a win for the champions, but it was a more competitive match than we've seen Omos in so far in his stint on television. He is still very, very green. He is still very, very inexperienced. And when you're that big, you're also very limited in what you can do. I don't expect him to be in there doing Rana's like AJ is doing them, but he's still, when you're in the ring with a guy that big, you work around them and they bump around for you because he doesn't really move around that much. He doesn't really do a whole lot, but what he did well. And the fans reacted to it because the guy's a fucking giant. The guy is a friggin' monster. He's got to be a legit, what is he, a legit 7'2", probably? 7'1", 7'2", at least. I mean, I know they exaggerate in wrestling, but he's a big dude. It's not too many people who look like him. So I thought he did fine. But I will say, if the idea was that they were supposed to be the heels in this match, if that was the idea WWE had coming into this, then they failed miserably. Because these people did not want to hate AJ or Omos. The match itself, I thought, was better than I expected it to be. And now the stage is set, because at SummerSlam, they can do AJ and Omos defending the Raw Tag Team titles against Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. That is where you do the title change. Big stadium show in Vegas. You got to put the belts on Orton and Riddle at least once before you break them up. You can't have Orton RKO him now. So they got to do that at SummerSlam. That's the time to do it. You do the title change at SummerSlam. Set up perfectly now. Speaking of set up perfectly, we had the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley defending against Kofi Kingston. We got people in the chat saying that Omos is 7'3". Okay, well, that's even bigger than I thought. I told you, he's a big fucking guy. And apparently he's very young too, only 27 years old. But we had the WWE title on the line. Lashley and Kingston. Not that there was any doubt coming into the show about who was going to go over and win this match. I know there were people who were rooting and hoping for Kofi Kingston. Oh, Kofi Mania Part 2. There was never going to be a Kofi Mania Part 2. There wasn't supposed to be a Kofi Mania Part 1. That wasn't their plan. I'm happy it happened. I was there when he won the championship. It was the best thing on the entire WrestleMania card that year. It was a very emotional thing. It was a great moment. And he had 6 months as the WWE champion, but there was never going to be a Kofi Mania 2 because they didn't even plan a Kofi Mania 1. So I would laugh when I would see these messages from people about, do you think they'll put the title on Kofi? He got screwed over when he lost it. He deserves another run. It was never going to happen. It was definitely not going to happen tonight. But not that there was any doubt about the outcome, but the fact that they put this match on third, even before the Raw women's title match, I mean, that pretty much sealed the deal, right, as far as who was going over in this match. Kofi entered alone with no Xavier Woods. This was total domination. Those are the two words I wrote in this bullet. Total domination. Regis tweeted me, not that Regis is dead, but Regis tweeted me and he said, this was like playing WWE 2K22 and Player 2's controller died. And I thought, that is a great description of this match. Because Kofi had a little bit of offense at the very beginning, and after that, that was it. That was all they gave him. After that, it was just nothing but Bobby Lashley the rest of the way. It really is. It's like the controller, maybe it came out of the port. You're pushing the buttons, but nothing is happening, and this guy is just getting the shit kicked out of him. Lashley smashed Kofi into the ring post twice. He suplexed him around like he was a rag doll. He gave him three dominators that Ron Simmons would be very proud of, and then he locked on the Hurt Lock for the submission. So, match only went about 6 or 7 minutes. Hey, at least it wasn't 8 seconds, like it was against Brock Lesnar. He lasted a little bit longer than he lasted in there with Brock, right? So that's like a moral victory for Kofi Kingston. But this was a complete and total one-sided drubbing that was absolutely needed. This match went exactly the way that it needed to go to reassert Lashley's dominance, right? He got rolled up and pinned by Xavier Woods, guy half his size on TV the other week. And the whole story about Kofi telling him that, you know, you've taken your eye off the ball, you've lost your edge, you're dancing with ladies and you're going out partying and you're not paying attention to what brought you to the dance. And Lashley had this epiphany and he said Kofi was right. He had to come out on this show and prove that he can still be that guy. And the way you do that is by beating the living crap out of Kofi Kingston, which is what Bobby Lashley did here on this show. But again, I said months ago there would be no Kofi Mania Part 2. It was nice while it lasted, but it is time, I think, for Kofi Kingston to give up the WWE Championship thing. This does not seem to be working out for him at all. The last two times have not gone well for him. I think it's time that he sets his sights on something else. I hear the 24/7 Championship is still a thing on Monday Night Raw. He's also, what is he, a 20-time tag team champion? Could always go back after the tag team belts. But this WWE title thing, it ain't working out for him. But this, when this match was over, I thought to myself, this would be a great setup for Big E to win the Money in the Bank match. Did my predictions, right? I put that up a couple of days ago. And I said as much. I said originally I was thinking Seth Rollins, he would win, he would try to cash in the main event, but it would be foiled. But then I saw what they did at the end of SmackDown on Friday night. I said, there's no fucking way Rollins is going to win now. I said, it's got to be Big E. Shouldn't be anybody else. Because the story sells itself. So I watch this and I'm thinking, man, all they need to do now is give Big E the win in the Men's Money in the Bank match. And they can have him challenge Lashley at SummerSlam. Because the rules are that the winner of the Money in the Bank can challenge for any championship, or at least top title, of their choosing, regardless of the brand. And I don't think that's been a rule, you know, every single year in the past few years. So they're doing that for a reason. So the setup now is right there if they wanted to take it. This is before I saw the men's ladder match later in the show. But if the rumors are to be believed, we know who is showing up on Raw tomorrow night. Because the big return we had at the end of the show tonight is apparently not the only big return. And Becky Lynch is not the only one who has been teasing a return. They're bringing all hands on deck. They're bringing back a whole bunch of big names. I wouldn't be surprised if Vince McMahon is calling The Undertaker and saying, hey, Mark, you got one more left in you? I got an offer for you. I got a match for you. And he's so friggin' loyal to this guy, he'd probably think about it. So who knows all of the big names that are going to be coming back? But we know of one who is supposed to be on television tomorrow night. And that is the person who is likely going to be challenging Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. That would be Big G, not Big E. We had Rhea Ripley against Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's Championship. The crowd started loud chants of "We want Becky," which got Charlotte hot. Unless she was just doing a really good job of selling it. It looks like it got to her a little bit. It got to her. She was gotten to. She wasn't really expecting that. And so she responded, though, in a great heel way. She gave the crowd the middle finger. And so what did they do, fucking Peacock? They go ahead and they black out the screen to try to censor her. They didn't do a very good job because you could still see she was flipping off the crowd. But they're censoring the middle finger on this subscription service that I pay for. I pay for profanity. Don't censor my profanity. This is the content I pay for. A good middle finger every now and then is perfectly fine. I mean, hell, they had a video package before the WWE title match. They didn't edit out Bobby Lashley saying the word bullshit. So what's the big deal if Charlotte Flair is flipping everybody off? Hey, Peacock, see, I could do that too. Fuck you. Censor this. Fucking bird. So after the angle they shot on Monday night, where Charlotte put the figure four leg lock around Rhea's legs and she was hanging off the apron and Rhea was screaming in agony, right? My knee, my knee. I thought maybe that was the setup to give Rhea an out in the match tonight when she loses, which is why I predicted Charlotte would win the title. What I did not predict is the fact that when the match started, not only did they not even really talk about that, Rhea didn't even sell it. It didn't even factor into the match until the finish when Charlotte went back after the knee. The match started. Rhea was not selling the injury. She was not, you know, kind of limping around or anything, unless I completely missed it. It was just like it almost didn't even happen. So I don't know what the point of that angle was, but that was surprising. But we had a whole series of counters back and forth. These women were going tit for tat. There was a very impressive spot where Rhea was trying to muscle Charlotte up for a suplex. Charlotte didn't really, she didn't really get her in the right position for it, but she muscled her up anyway. So Rhea's got some power. And the fans appreciated this. They really were quite impressed by that vertical suplex that she was able to hit for a near fall. Charlotte booted Rhea from the ring, and that allowed her to climb up to the top rope and go for her moonsault, her over-rotation out of the ring. You know, it's not just a case of it looking bad. I also, you know, I worry that she's going to land one day and she's going to fucking snap her leg in half. She's got those long legs. I think that's part of the reason why she over-rotates when she hits that moonsault. But anyway, she went for the moonsault and she kind of landed on Rhea and down went Rhea. So Rhea inside blocked a natural selection that Charlotte went for. She applied a standing inverted cloverleaf, which Charlotte countered into a roll-up for a near fall. Charlotte countered a riptide attempt, spiked Rhea with a DDT for another near fall. They traded strikes until Charlotte connected with a back elbow, and that rocked her. She went for a cover with her feet on the ropes, though the referee caught her. He stopped the count. Charlotte hit a top rope. Natural selection. Rhea was on the ropes, and she gave her a natural selection off the ropes for a very convincing near fall. They got me on that near fall. And the crowd chanted, "This is awesome." Charlotte went for a figure eight, but Rhea threw her out of the ring. Charlotte managed to trap Rhea's leg between the ring post and the ring steps. There's like an opening there in the top of the steps, and she got Rhea's leg and her knee trapped in that opening. And then Charlotte is out on the floor, and she starts kicking the steps. She is repeatedly kicking the steps into Rhea's knee over and over again. Rhea is screaming in agony. And back inside, Charlotte applies the figure eight. Rhea taps out, which makes Charlotte Flair, I think, a 27-time women's champion, so congratulations to her. It was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time this summer before she got the belt back, right? We got to pad that resume. 27-time women's champion. Congratulations. Didn't look like things were headed in a very good direction when this match started, when people started chanting, "We want Becky," over and over again. I didn't know what was going to, I didn't know if these people were going to start doing the wave. I mean, you never know with some of these crowds, right? They get a bug up their ass and they're liable to just give up on the entire match. Thankfully, that didn't happen. And as the match went on, it got better and better and some great near falls in the match. Got those "This is awesome" chants. So the people, they won them over. They got the people into the match. Even though the people were heckling and chanting things at Charlotte, they won the crowd over. They had what I thought was a kick-ass match. But that finish. That finish, they don't get a pass on that finish. And I don't want to hear from people who are saying, "Oh, it's such a great match, you're nitpicking." No, it was a great match, but I'm not nitpicking. They should not be let off the hook for stuff like this. And if you watched Hell in a Cell last month, you know exactly where I'm going with this. These two had a match last month on pay-per-view for the Raw Women's Championship. One-on-one, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. And Hell in a Cell, Rhea was disqualified for using the lid of the announce desk as a weapon. She hit Charlotte, you know, with that flat portion of the announce desk. She hit her with it, I think just one time. And for that, she was disqualified. I think for the first time in history, I don't think I've ever seen anybody get disqualified for this. And she was disqualified. Here, we have Charlotte Flair repeatedly kicking. After placing this woman's knee in that position, she starts to repeatedly kick at the steps, kick the steps into Rhea's leg over and over and over again. And somehow, this is not a disqualification. In June, it's a DQ. In July, this is not a DQ. So maybe these are seasonal. Maybe the rules in WWE change based on the season, based on the month, on the time of year. Maybe they have one of these calendars where, you know, every month you flip to a new page. Maybe every month you flip to a new rule in the rule book, and it just changes from month to month. This is a classic case of WWE making the rules up as they go along. They do this all the time. They just make shit up to suit whatever the story is in that particular match on that particular night. Doesn't make sense? Doesn't matter. To them, that's not a big deal. They just change things on the fly, whatever suits their needs at that particular moment. And again, I love the match, but it just highlights how fucking stupid that finish was last month. I will never not take an opportunity to shit on that very dumb finish that they did at Hell in a Cell. I would be fine, for the record, with neither of these things being a disqualification. I'd be fine with that if they didn't call a DQ for either one of these things. Because that would have been a very lame way for this match to end, too, if it had ended on a DQ. I'm not saying I wanted a DQ finish. What I'm saying is you've got to be fucking consistent if you're going to do stuff like this. It's not too much to ask for. Just a little bit of consistency. That's all I asked for. That aside, I thought it was an awesome match. That's not their fault. Next up was the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Drew McIntyre, Matt Riddle, Ricochet, John Morrison, who was a huge crowd favorite tonight. Seth Rollins, Big E, Kevin Owens, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Let me check and see what we got going on here. How many people we got? Over 2,100. Sounds good to me. Look at this. We're closing in on 800 likes. We're close, guys. We're very close. We're getting closer to 1,000. Can we do quadruple digits here? We might do that here before we're done. But this is where the Peacock issues began. Thankfully, the feed was restored by the time the match actually started. But it was the traditional. I don't know how many of you noticed this. It was the traditional WWE Network feed. Because when the feed came back, usually there's a Peacock logo on the screen. The Peacock logo was not there. And other people in other parts of the world where there is no Peacock were saying, well, everything's fine for us because we're on the regular WWE Network feed because the WWE Network still exists in other countries. So it looks like what happened is, in order to get things back on track, they simply restored the traditional WWE Network. I wish they would just restore the traditional WWE Network. But then they wouldn't get their $1 billion. But I missed the backstage segment that came before this and all of the entrances. Apparently, Matt Riddle had Rick Boogs, who was backstage with Nakamura. He had Boogs play Randy Orton's theme song in the back, so I see I didn't miss much. This was an excellent match. I thought the men's Money in the Bank match this year was an excellent match. A lot of fun. Far better than the Women's Money in the Bank match. Far better. Far better. Ricochet wiped out Morrison on the floor with this insane dive. Big E and McIntyre had a stare down that the people seemed to be into when they were circling the ring. McIntyre gave him an overhead suplex. Big E, though, came back and wiped him out with a spear to the outside. And Big E took what looked like a nasty landing on either his shoulder, his ribs. It looked like a really rough landing. Big E is a big guy. I don't mean big like he's 7 feet tall. But the guy is built like a tank. And when you have a guy that big, who is coming out of the ring and landing constantly on his shoulder over and over and over again, you are just asking for trouble. If you listen to the main podcast I do every week, every Sunday, you've heard me to the point of probably not wanting to hear me say it, but I'm going to keep saying it anyway. I've been talking about this for years. He is tempting fate every single time he does this. I understand there is an element of risk with every big move, every dive. But this is just so dangerous and so unnecessary. And you, it's like you're begging for shoulder surgery. That's not a surgery that you want to have. A shoulder injury is a tough injury to come back from. So even if it's not like a one-time thing, it builds up over time. Yeah, maybe he'll go another 3 years and he'll be perfectly fine. But you're taking all of these risks and landing on the shoulder with all that weight, 260, 270 pounds over and over and over again. For what? What are you really getting out of it? So he looked like he landed in a nasty way, and he may have gotten hurt. I'll have more on that later. Nakamura applied an armbar to Morrison on top of the ladder, which looked pretty cool. Nakamura was hanging off until Rollins springboarded off the ropes with a flying knee and caught Nakamura on the way down. Rollins gave Owens a falcon arrow onto the flat edge of the ladder. The ladder was folded and it was set up vertically, like on its edge, on its side. And this guy got slammed spine first, right on that flat part of the ladder. Who needs a spine anyway, right? Who needs a spine? Who needs a spine? But I know some people who have no fucking spine. That's not what I mean. Kevin Owens, he don't need no spine. That's like the least useful part of the human body anyway, right? Riddle took out Rollins with an RKO. McIntyre took Riddle and Nakamura down with double Claymore kicks simultaneously. He gave Big E a Future Shock DDT, gave Ricochet a reverse Alabama slam onto a ladder that was set up in the corner. McIntyre hit a running flip dive of his own out onto a bunch of guys on the floor. Back in the ring, McIntyre hit Rollins with a Claymore, and this is where it looked like McIntyre might just have this well in hand. When who should show up? Who should show up? Who could have predicted such a thing? But Jinder Mahal and his goon squad would arrive on the scene right when Drew McIntyre was starting to climb the ladder. We had Veer and Shanky right on cue, running into the ring, pulling McIntyre down from the ladder, as predicted. They ran in to stop him from climbing. Jinder hit McIntyre a few times with a chair. And they did this all the way down the aisle, and they dragged McIntyre back to the locker room. We never saw him again. We never heard from Drew McIntyre again. We don't know what his whereabouts are. Maybe he was kidnapped. Maybe they have him locked in a car trunk somewhere. But that was the last we saw of the Scottish history professor. At that point, he was out of the match. Riddle began climbing the ladder, but Ricochet did a Spider-Man-like leap from the ropes onto the ladder to stop him. Riddle pushed the ladder over, but Ricochet just jumped up onto the top rope. As the ladder was leaning over, he simply landed on the top rope and then springboarded himself from the top rope with this beautiful dive. Smooth-looking dive onto a whole bunch of bodies out on the floor. It was Ricochet doing Ricochet things. Ricochet doing Ricochet things will never get old. All you need to do is send him out there and let him do what he does best. This is the kind of shit that got him over and got him noticed. He was doing things that most people just physically are not able to do. And I've said, you know, you have a guy like Ricochet on your roster. You have a guy like Ricochet under contract. He is a special talent. Okay? Forget his promo skills for a second because he's not a good promo. Okay? He's not. But in the ring, he's like a human video game character. And I know everybody these days does all kinds of moves off the top rope and dives and Spanish flies and destroyers and all that kind of stuff. But he can do stuff that a lot of other people can't do. And he could have a lot of appeal. You can make a lot of money with this guy if you use him properly. And up to this point, they have not done that. But if you can't find a way to use Ricochet and make money with this guy, then you don't know what the fuck you're doing. I don't know how old he is now. Is he 30 yet? If not, he's got to be around 30. There's going to come a point in the next few years, like AJ Styles, we're seeing it now. AJ's like 44, and there's certain things he can't do that he used to do. He's slowing down. Ricochet is going to get to that point where he can't do all the stuff that we're used to seeing him do. He's going to get older. He's going to slow down. He might get hurt. Now is the time to take advantage of what you have in this guy and just let him go out there and put him in certain matches and certain programs with people where he can go out there and just wow the audience. You don't need to reinvent the wheel with this guy. Tonight, we got a glimpse in what they have in Ricochet and what he can do. Everything he did, the crowd popped huge. Everything he did, the crowd was like, wow. You know, he was like the human highlight reel here in this match. That's the way Ricochet should be utilized going forward. He just has to work on his promos. But if you use this guy right, he can be one of the hottest stars on your brand. And for months now, he has been anything but. There was this great sequence where Riddle yanked Big E and Ricochet from the ladder and gave them both RKOs. Crowd popped each time for each RKO. Nakamura fought off Riddle, but Morrison sprayed him in the face. So Nakamura's on the ladder, right? He's getting ready to reach up for the briefcase. Morrison sprays him in the face with his drip stick, which, out of context, sounds kind of gross, but an actual dripstick with water in it, and he sprayed him right in the face, and the crowd popped for that. Owens gave stunners to Morrison and to Nakamura. Ricochet blocked a stunner, but Owens gave him a pop-up powerbomb instead, folded him up. Owens started climbing the ladder, but Rollins came in. He powerbombed Kevin Owens from the ladder on the inside of the ring out onto a ladder bridge that was set up outside in front of the announcers. There was a ladder bridge from the announce desk to the ring apron. He powerbombed Owens on top of the ladder. He broke right through, and it looked like a nasty landing. That looked like it sucked. And hopefully Owens is okay, but it looked nasty. Rollins took a little bit too long, though, to climb the ladder. And when he did, he got caught by Big E. And Big E hit the big ending to Seth Rollins off the top of the ladder. That took out Seth Rollins. The crowd is going crazy. Big E climbs the ladder. He retrieves the briefcase, and Big E is Mr. Money in the Bank. And the crowd was ecstatic. They were very happy. They were very excited to see Big E get the win here. But he was noticeably going out of his way not to use his left arm all that much. And that was something I picked up on. A few other people who tweeted me picked up on it. My friend texted me, actually, Noah. Some of you know Noah. He texted me and said, something's wrong with his left arm. And maybe he was just selling. It's possible, right? These guys are in a car crash, basically, right? They could just be selling certain injuries. I'm hoping that's all it was, but he took that hard landing on that dive at the beginning of the match that I talked about through the ropes and landed right on that arm. He landed right on that left shoulder. And again, I cringe every time he does it. I just hope he didn't jack his arm up. I haven't checked to see if there's any kind of injury update. Somebody can let me know in the chat if something gets posted on one of the websites, but he was definitely favoring the arm. And right now, I'm hoping it was just selling and nothing more. But this was an outstanding car crash of a match. Demolition Derby, call it whatever you want. It's not a traditional wrestling match, but you kind of know what you get when you come into these Money in the Bank matches. And I thought this was an outstanding match, a lot of fun to watch. And now if they want to, again, if he's not injured, they have a story to tell with Big E challenging Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. It's not looking that way with the Goldberg rumors. Big G. It's not looking too good for Big E. But one can hope that they do the right thing. He does have a year to cash it in, so they want to take their time. I just don't want Goldberg anywhere near the WWE Championship because he already had a shot earlier this year. You dust off 50-something-year-old Bill Goldberg, who already wrestled and lost in January, to put him right back in a WWE Championship match. I don't need to see that. Put Goldberg in some other match. Keep him away from the title. I said on the podcast, keep him away from the title. You don't have to put him in a championship match. Why does he have to be in a title match? I mean, I know they're doing something similar with You-Know-Who, who I'm going to get to in a little bit with the Universal title, but that's different. I mean, that's a big-time match. These, you know, those two guys, that's a main event right there. And it's not like we've seen that other person challenging for any championships in quite some time. So for anybody who's going to throw that in my face and say, well, how come this is okay, but this isn't, it's not the same thing. And you're smart enough to know that it's not the same thing. So spare me. We had Roman Reigns against Edge for the Universal Championship in the main event. Let me check where the YouTube poll is and see what you guys think of this show. Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. I'm going to run down the results of the poll here in a little bit. But if you're in the live chat, you see that blue box, go ahead and vote. Thumbs up and thumbs down. YouTube just added polls. So now we can do them on Twitter and we can do them here on the stream. Sergio in the chat says, Goldberg is a legend. Absolutely. Goldberg is a legend. You're right. So is Sergeant Slaughter. What's your fucking point? I don't want to see him challenging for the WWE title either. Roman Reigns and Edge. We had loud chants of let's go Roman, let's go Edge to start the match. Roman hit a Samoan drop to Edge on the floor, and with that, the Tribal Chief went to work. And he took over on offense here in this match. We had a long chin lock by Roman Reigns. If Randy Orton was sitting at home watching this show, he got a little tingle up his leg. He must have been so proud to see Roman Reigns with that long extended chin lock here. And this is where Pat McAfee had the line of the night. He said, Edge's eyes are fluttering like peacock. Because when peacock was screwing up, that's what it was doing. It was flickering over and over and over again. I had to look away. So Pat McAfee taking a little dig here at peacock. Fucking great line. This guy is a natural on commentary. He's taken to it like a duck to water. I mean, we kind of knew he probably would. If you watched even the stuff he did in NXT, he's a natural for this. The guy had one wrestling match, his first official wrestling match, and it was a damn good match against Adam Cole. We've seen celebrities and athletes brought in for stuff, and yeah, they look about as good as you would expect them to look. In some cases, they're just completely embarrassing. Pat McAfee was not embarrassing. Pat McAfee was perfect in that story and in that whole angle in NXT. And he has excelled so far on SmackDown next to Michael Cole. I thought he was great on this show. Edge fought back, but Reigns took him right back down with a drive-by. He got some height, too. He got some height on that drive-by. Superman punch attempt, but Edge counters into a backslide for a near fall. And then both men take each other down with kicks. So now the referee starts his count. They're both struggling back up to their feet. Dueling yay boo strikes. We haven't seen that in a while. Edge with a flapjack and an execution for a near fall. Edge bounces Roman's face off the top of the ring post, and Roman falls backwards into a tree of woe. So he is hung up in the corner, and Edge is kicking him and stomping him. And now he applies the crossface. Gets Roman in the middle of the ring. He puts him in the crossface. Reigns is reaching for the ropes. Edge is wrenching back. And Roman finally gets his hand on the bottom rope. So now Edge is setting up for the spear. And let me just say this. The crowd response, the crowd energy at the beginning of this match was off the charts. These two guys were standing in opposite corners before they even touched, and this match had a big fight feel. This match felt like it was a real main event, and it was Edge's first singles match for a championship, I think they said, in about 10 years. because he never did get that singles match coming out of his win at the Royal Rumble. So the people were into Edge here on the show. There was some question I would get from people about, when fans are back, are they just going to cheer for Roman Reigns because he's like the cool heel? And the answer so far is no. The fans are not cheering Roman Reigns. The fans are booing him exactly the way that the company wants them to boo him. And he is doing his part to be as unlikable as he can be. He's not out there trying to be cool. So far, the crowd is cooperating and they're reacting exactly the way the WWE wants them to react. Because I know there were a lot of people who, and myself, I didn't know how they were going to react. The guy's been performing in front of a virtual screen for a year. You don't know until you're back in that environment how the people are going to react. That's what I mean. You had to get back in front of crowds, because how do you know who's over and who's not? How do you know what's working and what's not until you are back in front of audiences? I don't want to rely on Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard to tell me who's over and who's not. I don't care who they think is over or not. The people are the ones who are supposed to dictate that. So Roman, I think, has just been firing on all cylinders. He's doing his part to not be liked. And it's working so far. But Edge goes for the spear, and Reigns catches him in the guillotine. Edge drives himself and Roman through the ropes, out of the ring, out to the floor. They go tumbling out. Roman gets up first, and he goes for the spear. He's going to spear Edge through the barricade over by the timekeeper's area. Edge moves out of the way, and Reigns smashes through the barricade all by himself. Edge rolls into the ring, and he stops the count that Charles Robinson was starting. See, he doesn't want the match to end by count out, so he stops the count. He goes back outside. He builds up a head of steam. He spears Roman through another barricade. Second barricade now that Roman Reigns has gone through. He drags Roman back into the ring to cover him. Reigns gets a shoulder up. Roman comes back. Superman punch knocks Edge backwards into the referee. Charles Robinson goes down. He starts clutching his knee. Roman takes notice of this. He starts looking around. He rolls out to the floor. He grabs a chair. He stomps on the bottom part of the chair, which we've seen Edge do this on TV the last few weeks. He pulls off the metal bar, the metal rod from the bottom of the chair. And he brings it into the ring with him. In the background, we see officials, finally Pat Buck and a bunch of other guys come down to help the referee after leaving him out there writhing around in pain for about 4 minutes. They finally decide, hey, we should fucking help this guy. So they come down to the ring to help him. He's out on the floor. Roman is in the ring. He tries to lock a crossface on, and Edge fights free, and Edge applies a crossface with the metal bar across Roman's mouth. We've seen him do this on TV to the Usos and to Roman in the last few weeks. So he's got that move on. Here come the Usos. Speak of the devil. I guess the party hasn't started yet. Here come the Usos. They're walking down the aisle. We see people behind them. Couldn't tell really who they were. They look like a couple of masked men. I don't know who they were. They were a couple of masked men, actually, or at least in one case they were. But it's Ray and Dominic, and they take out Jimmy and Jay, and they fight them all the way to the back. In the ring, Reigns is fading, but here comes Seth Rollins. Rollins comes from out of the crowd. He gets into the ring. He hits a super kick to the back of Edge's head, and then he calmly walks to the back. There's still no referee. Roman sets up for the spear. Edge is struggling to his feet, the dramatic struggle to get back up to his feet. Here comes Roman, but Edge gets the spear instead. And the crowd explodes. And Edge gets the visual pin. There's no referee. Here comes a new ref to make the count, and Reigns kicks out at the last possible second. What a fucking near fall this was. The best near fall of the entire show. That was great. Edge is crouched in the corner. He's setting up for another spear. Rollins is back. He jumps up on the apron. Edge boots him off. And as soon as Edge turns around, he walks right into a spear from Roman Reigns, who covers him and gets the pin to retain the Universal Championship. So now Rollins gets in the ring, and he starts beating Edge down. He's firing blows down upon him. He gets up in front of Roman's face. He's face-to-face now with Roman Reigns. And we can kind of hear what he's saying. He's telling Roman, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have that title right now. Edge recovers. He attacks Rollins, knocks him out of the ring, and the two of them brawl into the crowd. And so off goes Edge and Seth Rollins. And in the ring, Paul Heyman is fetching a microphone for Roman Reigns. And he hands a microphone over to Roman, and Roman says, now the whole world can acknowledge me. And all of a sudden, whose theme music should hit but John Cena? John Cena's theme music hits, and Fort Worth comes unglued. The hard camera, always watch for the hard camera with some of these big pops. Some of the biggest crowd reactions in WWE history, the hard camera will shake because the building is shaking. So I could think back to a few moments off the top of my head. You know, the night that Austin came back to help, you know, Mankind win the title from The Rock. I mean, you could tell the building was just shaking and people were losing their minds. There was the last Vince McMahon match on Raw against CM Punk. There was a point in that match, they were hitting each other with kendo sticks. Ryback came out when it was over. You could see the building was shaking because the camera was shaking. The setup to the 10-man tag at SummerSlam back in 2010. Team Cena against Team Nexus. Remember they had that big face-off in the ring? They're all standing there. They're about to just go at each other. The crowd is going nuts. The camera was shaking. That's what happened here tonight. John Cena's music hit. He came out. The hard camera was shaking because the people were going nuts and the building was shaking. And it's rare that you find that kind of crowd reaction, but Cena, without any exaggeration, got one of the biggest crowd pops in company history tonight. This will go, if you have a running list of the biggest crowd pops in WWE history, this now is added to the list. He got a gigantic reaction. So, of course, as expected, as predicted, all of the China crap from a month ago, I said it's going to be forgotten. Give it a month. Nobody's going to give a shit. It was embarrassing for him at that time, but you know what? He did what he had to do. You give it a few weeks, it's old news. Nobody's going to care. John Cena has not been on WWE television in a very long time. I think this was the first WrestleMania that he missed, right? In many, many years. So whenever Cena was going to come back, whether it was now, whether it was in a few months, he was always going to get a superstar reaction. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Even the people that don't like John Cena. It's a big deal having him back on TV because it's been a very long time. And he was the guy they built everything around for almost 15 years. He had a longer run on top than some of the biggest stars in the history of the business. Rock, Austin, Hogan, his first run were not as long as the run that John Cena had on top. So getting him back after so much time away, he is the biggest name that you could ask for outside of Dwayne Johnson for the company to bring back heading into SummerSlam. And the people clearly missed him. They were very happy to see John Cena come out. He was the same old John Cena. You know, he was wearing his green t-shirt and he was being all, you know, oh, hey, Stu, how you doing? Talking to the cameraman and shaking hands and slapping his hand and everything. He was the same John Cena he's always been. For better or worse, he came down to the ring, he ran the ropes, he posed, Roman Reigns stood there just watching and staring at him the entire time. And that is how they went off the air, with both men staring each other down. This was the perfect setup for the main event at SummerSlam, and that is how you move another 10 or 15,000 tickets for that stadium. They had over 40,000 tickets out up to this point. And I said on the podcast, I said, wait until the main event is announced. Once they announce Cena and Reigns and Cena comes back, they'll move at least another 10K. They're going to have between 50 and 60,000 people in that stadium next month in Vegas. But this was a tremendous way for them to close the show, to get people excited, to go home on a happy note, and to get people interested in tuning into television. I'm very curious now to see how Raw does tomorrow night and how SmackDown does on Friday. I don't know what competition they're up against this week. sports-wise, Olympics, right? You got the Olympics. But I would imagine that coming out of this show, with everything that happened, Cena being back, Money in the Bank tease, there should be an increased level of interest in these shows. We'll see if the numbers go up. Because the numbers, especially for Raw, the numbers recently have cratered. And so we'll see if there's any improvement on that this week. But I thought, putting Cena on the side here for a second, the main event. Can we talk about this main event here for a second? The main event was outstanding. Kudos to Edge. Kudos to Roman Reigns. This is the best Edge match that he has had since coming back. Roman Reigns has been on a tear. Roman Reigns has been having quality match after quality match. It's not just a gimmick. It's not just, oh, you know, it's just this gimmick and, you know, his matches aren't that great. Look at who he has been in the ring with. The stuff with Jey Uso. They had some really good matches. The match with Drew McIntyre at Survivor Series was excellent. The matches with Kevin Owens. I mean, pick which one you like the best, but they had some great matches together. The triple threat at WrestleMania with Edge and Bryan. Great match. The match with Cesaro, very good. I enjoyed that as well. No surprise there. Reigns and Edge get their match one-on-one, and they knocked it out of the park. This was a tremendous main event. People were going nuts. They were hanging on to every near fall. People bought into the idea that Edge might actually win the championship, even though he never stood a chance. He was not going to win the title. It was not going to be Edge and Seth Rollins for the title at SummerSlam. That will be, at best, third from the top. But the people bought into it. And then they were rewarded with the John Cena return at the very end. So they, when I look at this card and I see all of the key matches, again, I wasn't really a fan of the Women's Money in the Bank match, but every other match on this show delivered. The Raw Tag Team title match, the Raw Women's title match, the Men's Money in the Bank match, the Universal title match, and even the WWE title match was exactly what it needed to be. This was a thumbs-up show. So kudos to everybody involved, and of course all the people who just fucking destroyed themselves in those ladder matches, as they do every year. I'm really hoping that Big E is okay. I'm worried about that shoulder thing. But I'm sure if he did hurt himself, we'll get some news on that, I'm sure, in the next few days. Let's take a look at the, before we do the YouTube poll, let's take a look at the Twitter poll. See where the results are so far. Well, a little more mixed than I thought it would be. 70% thumbs up, about 20% thumbs in the middle, and only about 9% thumbs down. And as far as the YouTube poll here, if I just open that up, we have another 2,100 votes. We have more votes here than we do on Twitter. 86% thumbs up, 14% thumbs down. So I didn't have a thumbs in the middle option here on YouTube. But there you go. Again, the poll is still open here in the chat. We got over 2,100 votes. Let's get that to 22 and 23. Let me know what you thought of the show. But overall, yes, everybody seems to be in agreement that this was a excellent show. This will go down as an excellent pay-per-view. There's your Money in the Bank review. Of course, we're not done, because we have a contest. I am very excited to get to here in a second. As more of the Super Chats come in, I'm going to read every single message that you guys sent in to me. So we'll be here for a little while. But if you have questions and comments about tonight's show, SummerSlam, John Cena, Bill Goldberg, Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Peacock, fuck Peacock, by the way, feel free to send a Super Chat on in. But we have a contest to do, and I want to give a shout-out to not just Wrestle Rumble for hosting the contest, but also Steve Mello, who I believe might be joining us live here on the stream, actually, in the chat. He is the one responsible for all of the artwork and the graphics and the thumbnails and all the great stuff he does here for the channel that you guys see every single week. He also had a huge role to play in the design of this championship belt. That, of course, being the replica Salamonster belt, which you see there on your screen. We thought it would be cool to do a belt. You know, we do belt giveaways here for Wrestle Rumble all the time. But to have your own custom championship is pretty freaking cool. Pretty cool, man. So we're giving away one of these for free. We had over 2,000. I think over 2,100 was the number. Entries in the contest. And what we'll do here, and if you guys have tuned into these contests before, you know how this works. Because we use a list randomizer. And what I will do, let me get this all set up here, is we're going to plug all of the names in. You guys will get to watch as I plug the names in, and then we will choose one lucky winner. Let's make sure this works here. Here we go. Random.org. Shout out to that website. It's been a godsend doing these contests. So let's get all the names here. I got a whole list of names. Got a whole bunch of them here. And we're going to plug them in so you guys can see them. So there they are. And again, I can scroll up and down. And you can enter the contest as many times as you want. So we have some repeat entries in here. We have some new people who have not participated in these contests before. But I assure you that everybody is plugged in here on this list. And so what we will do, I'll hit a little bit of a drum roll here. The list is going to randomize. When the results pop up on screen, the person who is in the number one spot, so the very first person, whoever's name is listed in number one on the list, you are the new champion. You are the co-champion with me. So without any further ado, because we got a lot of messages to get to, let's pick a winner. Let's see who wins the Solomonster Belt Contest. And the winner of the contest is Kenji Miley. Kenji Miley, you are the winner of the Solomonster Sounds Off Championship Belt. Over 2,000 entries in the contest. And Kenji, you are the winner. Congratulations to Kenji. Very happy to finally have crowned a champion. We've been building this up for so long. And that is very cool. Again, for those who... it's 9 pounds. This thing is 9 pounds. It's like a small child. But again, the work that went into this is just tremendous. It turned out even nicer than I thought. I mean, that's pretty solid right there. And I think you're going to really enjoy this. So... Kenji, Wrestle Rumble will be getting that belt out to you. And if you are watching, if you are listening right now, when you get it, I want you to take some pictures or shoot some video. Go ahead and tweet it to me, send it to me so I can share it with everybody. Got to get a picture of you with the belt. Thank you to Wrestle Rumble again for hosting. Thank you to Steve for all your help in designing the belt. It's very cool. Very unexpected. When I opened that belt for the first time and I took a look at it, man, oof. Took my breath away. I'm a belt mark. What can you... I mean, look over my shoulder. I mean, that says it all right there, right? So, anyway. Let's switch on over to to your super chats. It's my favorite part of the stream where we get interactive and I get to see what's on your mind. So, let me just close out of this here. Get a little bit of music going on in the background. Man, that was a long pay-per-view. Long review, but we got through it. No thanks to Peacock. Did I mention how much I hate Peacock? It's too bad because the network was fine. You know, the network had made a lot of improvements over the years. And I was really digging it, and then they had to go and change everything. Change for the sake of change. Actually, before we even get into your super chats, there is one more very important thing I wanted to mention. Let me go back here for a second. Let me go back here because I want to show you guys this. there is another contest. Just because the belt contest is over does not mean that you cannot win big. This Wednesday, I'm going to be live with you after AEW Dynamite. And shout out to Granny Hell Yeah, who just became a Sound Off channel member here on YouTube. Hell yeah, Granny. But yeah, we were doing another contest on Wednesday. You can win two tickets to All Out in Chicago in September. I think the show is sold out. If not, a lot of the best seats, I'm sure, are gone. You can win two tickets, and right there, you see the graphic on the screen tells you exactly where they are. Section 116, Row 2. You're going to have this fucking tremendous view. The stage is going to be just off to your right. You're going to be that first level up in the second row. You're going to be sitting with Matt and the Wrestle Rumble crew. Food and drinks on them. They're going to wine and dine you. You're going to eat and drink like kings and queens. Tune in to the podcast live, the Dynamite post show on Wednesday. I will be picking one lucky winner. Go to WrestleRumble.com right now if you want to enter this contest. Because on July 20th, that's this Wednesday. Or 21st, I think it is. But in any event, I think that date is wrong. But on the 21st, whatever Wednesday is, that's when we're picking a winner. So anyway, the 20th is Tuesday. I used the wrong graphic, but that's me. That's my mistake. But yeah, now that's going to be great, though. You are going to have a tremendous view of All Out. Whoever wins those two tickets, you and a friend, you and your girlfriend, you and your boyfriend, you and your dog, you and your cat, you and your pet peacock, whatever it may be, you're going to have a great time. Going to have a great time at All Out. Chris Young, thanks for becoming a Sound Off superstar, man. Look at this, CJ La Chapelle, getting some new members here tonight. Love it. Love to see it. We're closing in on 1,000 likes. What are we, less than 100 away? We're so close. Let's try to hit 1,000 here before we go off the air tonight. Let's see if we can pull it off. All right, let's go back. I don't want to miss any of the chats that came in earlier. So let's scroll back. Find out what you guys thought of tonight's show. Tell me, I'm feeling good. I'm in a good mood. Despite the peacock fuck-up, I'm in a good mood after that pay-per-view, after that main event. It's amazing how your whole demeanor can change after a great show or just a god-awful shitty show. You know, it's good to have some good wrestling every now and then. If you want to know my thoughts on that Slammiversary show last night that Impact Wrestling had, that's on today's podcast, episode 713. You guys can go back and listen to that. I'll have that clip up on the YouTube channel tomorrow. Here we go. Nayef Al-Safar started us out with the $10 super chat. Nayef, I know you're hanging out with us tonight. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Ryan Spies with the $4.99 super chat. Not even Peacock wants people to watch WWE. Apparently not. Rizzo with the $5. God, Peacock sucks. I get it for free because I have Xfinity or else I would cancel. I had to watch the pay-per-view on my phone. Well, at least you were able to see it. I watch quite a bit of things on my phone, actually, but that's just out of convenience more than anything else. As long as it wasn't flickering and you can actually see what was going on, that's really all that matters. Rizzo, again, I'm disappointed that the Usos won the titles, but I did get a chuckle when Roman looked at Jimmy and said, "And you." Shiesty B. Back again. Peacock is top two, and it's not two worst streaming. I don't know what that means. Also, do you think Demon Finn should dethrone Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? You are the god of podcasting. I am the god of podcasting, the god of thunder and lightning. The god of, what else? What does Chris Jericho call himself? The god of war? Is that what he calls himself? The god of Grey Goose? We do not need Demon Finn. Finn Balor got through an entire run on NXT without putting on the demon paint, and he was great. So I don't think that Demon Balor is necessary. I mean, if you're talking about paying it off at WrestleMania with the demon paint, because, you know, WrestleMania people do stuff like that, I mean, I guess, but it's not needed. It's not needed. But he's not going to be the one to dethrone him anyway. So it's a completely pointless argument to have anyway. Because he's not going to be the one to beat Roman Reigns. Ryan Spies again. Main event felt like an Orton match with all of the rest holds. Well, that's Roman Reigns trying to be a heel. He doesn't want people to cheer him. That's why you don't see him doing dives anymore like he used to do. Samoan Fan 101. 1 year ago this week in wrestling history, Solomonster said that Bray Wyatt hit Braun Strowman in the head with a whore instead of saying an oar. Oh, was that the swamp fight? Yes, that's right. He hit him in the head with a whore. I like that better. Red Ranger with the $5. Oh, look. It's Mr. Taiwan isn't a country himself, John Cena. Oops, I mean John China, he said. Oh, he calls him John China. Either way, don't care that he's back. Just put Roman over again at SummerSlam. Granny, hell yeah. Peacock sucks so much. Hell yeah, Granny. You and I are in agreement. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Why were they cheering? I could not see anyone. The Undertaker, 2024. Is he running for president? Am I unaware of his political aspirations here? Seen his haircut on a whole new level. He looked like Johnny Bravo out there with that hair. Peacock sucks, he says. Thank you, Solomonster, for everything that you do. Red Ranger again. Charlotte flipping off the crowd was awesome, especially since they tried to black it out. And Peacock is awful. Chris Quillman with the $5. I hope to God our two men's championship matches at SummerSlam are not Cena Reigns and Goldberg against Lashley, but I guess that is what we are getting. Chris Quillman, you need to be a little more optimistic about the Cena Reigns match, because that is the big match to do. I actually don't have an issue with that. Cena has been gone long enough, and I think that there is a story to tell there that can work. And that is a match that is going to move tickets. Goldberg is past that point already. I don't see him making a big difference one way or the other. If you want to have Goldberg on the SummerSlam card, have Goldberg on the SummerSlam card. Again, my argument is strictly centered and focused on him challenging for any championship at this point. He has been a two-time Universal Champion. He has wrestled this year for the WWE title. Enough. Cena and Reigns, I don't have any issue with. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. The wrestling gods have answered my prayer. Big E won Money in the Bank, and his target is the man that hurt his boy, Kofi. Let us hope. Bret Hart with the $6.79 Super Chat. That is my new favorite name. Bret Hart. You're combining two of my favorite things. I love it. Thank you, Bret Hart. John G, tweener to heel turn that I did not see coming tonight, the Peacock Network. Peacock was always a heel. This was not a turn. The chairman sent in $5. What do you think was the first thing that Reigns thought of when he hears Cena's music? And you rock, he says. I think he was probably thinking to himself, right on time. How much time do we have left in the pay-per-view before we go off the air? I think that's what he was thinking. Red Ranger, I would love it if at the end of his first promo with Cena, if Roman is about to leave and he goes, by the way, John, Taiwan is a country, smirks and leaves. Well, that guarantee you that will not happen. Because WWE, much like every other company, is trying to break into China, and that is the last thing that they would ever want anybody to say on their television show. That person would be released so fast, they wouldn't even, their head would spin. If you think the WWE would actually script that line in a promo. Brianna, between AEW on Wednesday, SmackDown on Friday, and Money in the Bank tonight, the energy on these shows was amazing and sorely missed. John Falchetta with the $5. Great show overall for the Usos. Next can be a designated driver on a pole match, bro. Well, the one thing I guess about them being tag team champions is I guess Jay can be the designated driver. So I guess that's good. T-Mac 034. As Sting is just casually hanging out with us here tonight. Had to use my VPN to buy the network tonight. Yeah, I heard that WWE is cracking down on VPN usage. So the ExpressVPN link I plug on the podcast is still great, but just not for the WWE network anymore. Apparently they're cracking down on VPN users. Marquand 1976, Peacock, don't get him angry. You won't like it when Jason gets angry. Cameron Spencer, would you rather be kicked in the nuts with a steel toe shoe or chopped by Walter in the Adam's apple? More Adam's apple questions in the future. You know, poor Walter has a hand injury. They had to postpone his UK title defense against Ilya Dragunov. It's a pretty serious injury, so there's no telling when he'll be back. I mean, it would suck. How many days? 650 days or something, right? 700 days as the United Kingdom champion if he was stripped, if his reign came to an end because of a hand injury, the same hand he uses to chop the shit out of people. That would be a tragedy. Probably kicked in the nuts with a steel toe shoe. Rodimus Prime with the $25 super chat. Thank you, Rodimus. Appreciate it, brother. Pretty good show. Amazing main event. Plus the ending with Cena and Reigns. And I agree, Peacock sucks. Sean Waters with a $25 super chat of his own, competing with Rodimus Prime. Loved Lashley dominating Kofi. Hope he does the same to Goldberg, but afraid they will pull a Survivor Series 2016 Lesnar against Goldberg, where Goldberg just spears Lashley and jackhammers, I mean suplexes, for a win. Well, I'll tell you what. I will tell you what. If that is how the match goes between Goldberg and Lashley, if that is the match at SummerSlam, you are going to be in for one hell of a review here on the YouTube channel. I will give you a review that you will never forget. Vincent Millage dropping $100 via Super Chat. Holy shit, Vincent. Vincent going deep here tonight. Was a great show tonight. Love the Money in the Bank match. Have not been able to watch or contribute to the show since I work nights. Keep up the good work so I don't have to watch Raw. Well, I got you covered, brother. Every week, you know it. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, even a little bit of Impact this week. Maybe a little bit of MLW soon. We'll see. But Vincent, wow, thank you, man. Vincent, the Super Chat King so far here tonight. HBKC83 with the $5 Super Chat. Scale of 1 to 10, where are you with the work from Pat McAfee so far? Honestly, I'm probably in the range of like an 8. I think he does a very good job. You know, he does not distract from the show. I mean, he can be over the top when certain people come out, like when Boogs comes out on SmackDown and, you know, plays the guitar and stuff. But he's not overbearingly obnoxious. You know, he knows when to kind of pick his spots. He plays off of Michael Cole well, and he brings a level of energy and enthusiasm to the show that I think it was really lacking. So I think he's doing a tremendous job so far. He's doing a better job than Adnan Virk was doing. And so is Jimmy Smith on Raw. You know, he's not... he's not standing out to me as you know, oh my God, he's just fantastic. But he's doing a very good, very capable job so far. He knows his shit. Joe Cool, 82. Absolutely the best pay-per-view of the year. Even with Charlotte Flair winning the women's title, that was disappointing, but business as usual, sadly. Kenta Viax with the $20 super chat just wanted to show some love. Thank you for your hard work. Well, Kenta, thank you. Appreciate that. NWO Elite. Long live the queen. Ugh. Matthew Rice just became a Sound Off Legend tier member here on the channel. That gives you access to retro audio from the very first years I started doing the podcast. I'm still putting them up trying to do it every week, or at least every other week. Episode 10 is the next one I'm working on this week, because I have to edit out certain music and stuff that, you know, can't go on YouTube. But otherwise, episode 10, I mean, some of these shows, you can't find them anywhere else. They have long been, you know, just gone from our old server here on the interweb. So that's one of the things that our Legends tier members have access to. But all of our members have access to the Sound Off Discord. So if you are not in the Sound Off Discord, if you are not aware of it, let me know. Drop me a tweet, send me an email, drop me a comment, we'll get you in there. That is exclusively for our channel members right now. Brian Gates with the $5. I'm happy for Big E. The rest of the show, say what you want. Stay awesome. Anderson Blitz. John Cena returning made me scream in joy. Samoan fan Cole said, no one is meaner than Tamina. Yeah, I heard him say that. Michael Cole is just, you know. Michael Cole is the most uncool person, I think, in the world. Nobody is meaner than Tamina. Good God. Marwan El Shahemi with the $5 super chat. Thank God we have the WWE Network in Egypt. As for the show, WWE could have Lesnar, Rock, and Cena lined up for Roman. Please have long-term planning. Trey Knight. Money in the bank. This was a good show. Well, yeah, based on what I'm seeing here in the live chat poll, we're up over 2,300 votes now. Pretty solid. It's still 86 up, 14 down. So when we end here in a little bit, we'll see where that poll is. But it's looking pretty good right now. Looking pretty good. Oh, look at this. Steve Heredia just dropped $25. That's the Butcher and the Blade super chat. Thank you, Steve. I'll get to your message here in a second. Johnny A with the $10. Great pay-per-view. Bigger than any conspiracy out there is the one that Solomonster works as a creative consultant for WWE. We are on to you. LOL. Hey, look, there are pay-per-views where I'll have predictions and I'm like way off. I did pretty good tonight. Outside, I think, of the Women's Money in the Bank match, I think I pretty much nailed everything except the SmackDown Tag Team title match. Although that was more who I felt should win and who I wanted to win. Not so much who I necessarily thought was going to win. But on the main card, I did pretty good. Take a look at that, by the way. That's a rare photo. I added that as a super chat. Of Undertaker and Andre the Giant. Don't believe that is a legitimate photo. I think it's photoshopped. But when I saw that picture for the first... If it is a photoshop, it's really well done. But just seeing Undertaker and Andre... Even though Andre was just in such poor health at that point. But just seeing them in the same place, on the same show, at the same time. I thought that was a pretty cool visual. Tap out Nick. Charlotte and Rhea put on a clinic. I know she is overpushed, but influencers put her down in the ring for no reason. Look, I mean, Charlotte Flair is obviously very good in the ring. Nobody is denying that, but I also understand all the people who think that they should be giving other people opportunities instead of constantly going back to her and putting the championship on her. So I get both sides of it, you know? That's why I kind of joke, you know, that she's a 27-time women's champion. Guess what? That's not going to be untrue for too much longer at this rate. She'll get to 20. She'll get to 20. She'll beat her father's record. You don't think she's going to end up breaking 16 times as a women's champion? Come on. Walter Palacios, am I being paranoid or did a lot of the chance up until the men's Money in the Bank match seem piped in? I didn't notice it as much tonight as I did on Friday. Friday on SmackDown, it was very noticeable in Houston. They may have done it tonight, but I didn't notice any one match where I thought it was really egregious. I'd have to go back and just listen a little bit closer. But if they were doing it tonight, they did a better job of hiding it, at least. Friday was ridiculous. Especially during the Bianca Belair match. You know, it's too bad we were supposed to have an I Quit match on this show with Bianca and Bayley. I think the two of them would have had a great match, too. Jay Baker, Sanity Nikki should have won, not Sesame Street Nikki. Well, Sesame Street Nikki is what you are going to get. So, too bad. That's what WWE says. Too bad. Bogus fan. Just left Money in the Bank. Had a hell of a time. Women's Money in the Bank was weakest of the show, but enjoyed the show overall. Love you, Solomon Monster. Keep up the good work. Well, see, there you go. From somebody who was at the show agreeing with me that the Women's Money in the Bank match was the weakest thing on the entire show. Brandon Mobley with the $10. The Usos are great, but come on. Don't give Jimmy a reason to celebrate. I hope he goes to his room and counts his blessings and gets a good night's sleep. I have battled alcoholism myself. Unless there is some kind of reprimand, it's not even the fact that, you know, he got popped on a DUI. Clearly he has an issue, and he needs to address that issue. What kind of bothers me more is the fact that this guy could be arrested so many times that you almost don't have fingers left on your hand. That's how many times this guy has been arrested. Now, I understand the last time the charges ended up being dropped, but you're still getting arrested. You're still putting yourself in these situations, and it just doesn't seem like the company cares. And that's a really bad message to send. That's the issue. It's not that he has a drinking problem, it's that he keeps fucking up like this, and the company just seems like, oh, you know, fingers in the ear, like, you know, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it. Independent contractor, you know, all that shit. Zach Jones, honest question. Will WWE be using John Cena as a returning legend in main event spots into the 2030 and 2040s like they are doing with Bill Goldberg now? Of course. I mean, who do you think? They're not going to be able to use Bill Goldberg in 2040. I mean, he'll be Bill Oldberg. Oh, he's already Bill Oldberg, but of course, the guys now like Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley and John Cena and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, he'll have the gray hair, you know, coming out there doing special matches in 20 years. They're going to be using these guys the same way. That's if the company is around in 20 years. It's hard to envision a scenario where they're not, but never say never. But anyway, that Joe guy with the $10. Do you think that Nikki's name was changed because Karrion Kross is headed to Raw? I absolutely believe that her name was changed because Karrion Kross. I don't know if he's coming to Raw, but I think he's coming to the main roster very soon. My prediction, if you listen to the podcast this week, and again, I'll put the clip up on YouTube tomorrow, is I'm not so sure Samoa Joe is cleared to wrestle. I'm hoping he is, and then you can do Joe against Kross. I'm thinking that Kross is going to be stripped of the NXT Championship on TV this week. And that may be how they get him off the show without beating him, so he can stay undefeated. And then they take the vacant NXT Championship, and it's contested between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly in their rubber match of their feud at the next takeover. That's my prediction of where I think things are headed. But if Joe is cleared, then great. He can wrestle a match. If not, NXT on Tuesday, we might just see Karrion Kross stripped for putting his hands on a referee. Hulkling 93. Another dumb DQ was in 2014 because a slam on the announcer's table. Also, first time the WWE title was contested between two black wrestlers. Is that true? I find that hard to believe. Specifically the WWE title. Well, I mean, I guess there haven't been too many black WWE champions now, have there? Yeah, maybe you're right. You might be right. Paul Heyman with a super chat. When Karrion Kross moves to the main roster, can you see WWE changing his name to Criss Cross Applesauce? No, I do not. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Always good to hear from Paul Heyman. EJ Slemp. I did not watch this show because I hate Peacock. They don't deserve my money. I did watch the Mets today. Was that hit for the Pirates fair or foul? I think it was foul. But you know what? In the end, the Mets got the win. It's all that matters. At the end of that debacle, they pulled out the win. That is the most important thing. Michael Cuomo, is Bloodline the name of Roman and the Usos' stable? I don't think it has an actual name. They've used the word Bloodline. I don't think it's a formal name. Indigo. Hey, Indigo. I hear from Indigo on Twitter all the time. Indigo with the $5. Hey, Solomonster. Much respect. The men's Money in the Bank was great. Edge and Roman felt like a WWF main event. I'm really happy Cena is back. Another awesome stream. Thank you, Indigo. Indigo's awesome. Indigo is a great supporter of the show. Anytime I post something on Twitter, he's the first one there with encouraging words and thumbs up and everything. Indigo's just a positive guy. Joe Oliva with the $20. Thank you, Joe. Edge against Rollins, Reigns against Cena, and Becky Lynch against Nikki. For the Money in the Bank briefcase at SummerSlam, do you think this happens? I think two of those three are guaranteed. Becky and Nikki makes no sense, because Becky Lynch is going to come back as a babyface, most likely. So why would they put her against an underdog babyface? And I don't like the idea of putting the Money in the Bank contract on the line, especially so soon after she won it. You win the contract, it's yours. You shouldn't be defending it like it's another championship. And also, that's not a big match. Becky against Nikki is not a big match. You know, as much as I hate to say it, because we've seen it a whole bunch of times, Becky and Charlotte would be much bigger than Becky and Nikki. You know, Becky and Charlotte, maybe a triple threat, Becky, Charlotte, and Rhea. I think that might be more likely. Of course, it all depends on where Becky lands. I mean, Rollins is on SmackDown. And now that they're traveling and they're back out on the road, I don't know that they would want to separate Seth and Becky. That would lead me to believe that Becky might be on SmackDown. But SummerSlam should be Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair in a rematch from WrestleMania. Becky really shouldn't have any involvement in that match. Becky really should be going after the Raw title that she never lost. That's the story. That's why I think you might be seeing Becky, Charlotte, and Rhea at SummerSlam. That's the match that I would do. Jacob Barnes, Solomonster, you are the GOAT. Thank you very much. Just changing up the music here a little bit. Thank you, sir. I'd rather be a goat than a peacock. Granny Hell Yeah with the $5. Saw footage of a photo shoot backstage after the show with Big E. Oh, look at this. Brian Blair dropping $50. I almost missed that. Brian Blair. Not the Brian Blair. Ryan Blair, thank you for the $50 drop. I will get to you here in a moment. But Granny says, saw footage of a photo shoot backstage after the show with Big E with the briefcase on the WWE Network's Twitter. His shoulder looked fine to me. Well, I hope so. Hope so. Jay Baker, Cena's bald spot has gotten worse. That's what happens when you get older. He's, what is he now, 43? 44? Unfortunately, it happens to the best of us. It's only a matter of time. Shaheen Al-Attar just became a sound-off legend. I salute you, sir. And King Solomon in the chat, no relation, says hit that like button. Where are we at? Let me check. Where are we at on the like count? Oh, we're just shy of 1,000. Come on, we can get 10 more. We'll hit 1,000. Get those likes. Who's going to be number 1,000 to hit that like button? Shaheen, thank you, man. Thank you for becoming a member. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. It's one thing to have subscribers, but the people who go above and beyond to become channel members, I salute you. John Cena's bald spot just donated $2. Look at that. What a transition. From Jay Baker, who's talked about Cena's bald spot, we have a donation from Cena's bald spot, who apparently did not like the fact that I just talked about him. He says, Cena announced for Raw tomorrow, should be interesting. Thank you, John Cena's bald spot. So John Cena apparently has been announced for Monday Night Raw. So they want to make you think maybe it's not going to be John Cena and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. They want to get you thinking. Really, what they want is they want to get the Raw ratings up. Let's be honest. I mean, that's what they want, right? I mean, hell, we may get a confrontation between John Cena and Bill Goldberg if they're going to be on the same show tomorrow. If I wasn't looking forward to seeing Cena and Roman so much, I would say, good, do that match. Because it gets Goldberg away from the WWE title. We'll do Cena and Goldberg. There's a match that hasn't been done before. I'd be okay with that. Joshua Hughes. When do you see Roman Reigns dropping the title? Not until WrestleMania next year. I think WrestleMania 38. Well, but... right, let me qualify that. It depends on who his opponent is. I still am skeptical that they will be able to get The Rock for a match, just because of his schedule, and it just never seems to work out. If he's wrestling The Rock, then The Rock should not be winning the championship. But that's such a big match that how can you not do it, right? So if they do Roman and Rock, then Roman is going to retain. If it's Roman against somebody else, whoever that person is, it would have to be a WrestleMania-worthy match. I think that's when he drops the belt. So it really depends on whether or not they get that Rock match next year. But I don't see any reason to take the title off him anytime soon. They don't have that person right now who jumps out at me. Oh, that's the guy, right? I feel like you'll know it when that person shows up. But I don't see who that person is right now. When they do the draft in October, we'll see when the rosters get shaken up. Whatever show Roman is on, if he's still on SmackDown, he might have a whole new slate of challengers, and it's possible that somebody, you know, may look like, okay, this could be it. This could be the guy. But right now on SmackDown, I just don't see who that person would be. Somebody mentioned Finn Balor's name before. You know what? If it was going to be Finn, it's going to take a while to really build him up for that spot. It's not a spot that you're just going to throw him into. But, you know, even Balor, I don't see him being that guy to beat Roman. I don't know. Right now, I just don't see it. Lakers, Pats, they are going to Choppy Choppy Drew's PP. Well, remember, that was a fake sword, so they don't have Drew's sword, so they can't chop anything off. Theo said John Cena just announced for Raw tomorrow night, so we just got that news. Mr. Robert with the $25 Super Chat. Solomonster. Enjoyed the show. Yes, Fanjestic says, holy balls, the monster is still alive. What time is it? Holy shit. Yeah, we're still live. We're going through messages, so. Mr. Robert says, enjoyed the show and most of all, enjoying the live stream. Appreciate your views and rant and always blessed to drop a super chat and enjoy all of the great interaction. That's what it's all about, man. That is what it's all about. We had one night a few weeks ago. It was like a slow night. We were just reading from the regular chat. I mean, you know, whatever. We don't always have time for the phone calls anymore. I will bring those back. But, you know, when we have late streams like this, we usually just stick to the chats. And it's good to get the feedback from everybody, you know? It's like a little family. It's a community here. Juan Bermudez. WWE has produced good pay-per-views lately, but they cannot seem to give us decent to good weekly shows consistently. That inconsistency is maddening. That inconsistency defines WWE for probably the better part of a decade. It is very frustrating. We got here. We got DeQuent Pinkston. First time catching the stream live. Been listening to you for 7 years. Enjoyed the pay-per-view aside from the Women's Money in the Bank match. Enjoy your night. Well, thank you, Mr. Pinkston. You and I are on the same page as far as tonight's show is concerned. 7 years, too. Long time. 7 years. What was that? 2014? That was the year that I was in New Orleans for WrestleMania, right? Daniel Bryan winning the championship. It's a long time. Sean E. Dogs with the $10. Came into the stream late. I agree with you that the Women's Money in the Bank was weak, and the winner was a waste. I love Nikki Cross, but this bootleg Molly Holly gimmick is horrible. Do you agree? I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. I understand that it was her idea, and I don't think just because it's her idea that that automatically makes it good. There's plenty of creative ideas that the creative team in WWE has come up with that I like, and I say that I like it. When there's ideas I don't like, I call them out and I call it like I see it. Just because Nikki Cross came up with this whole character and everything doesn't mean that I automatically have to like it. I think it's great that she's taking the initiative and trying to, you know, do something and make something happen and make something work, but I'm not a big fan of the gimmick. And again, when she initially came out tonight, she did not get a very enthusiastic reaction. But she did when she won. Now, is that because they genuinely wanted to see her win? Or is that just because they popped for someone who won who they weren't expecting? I don't know. We'll see what kind of reaction she gets on Raw tomorrow night. Ken terminated by DQ. Did you do an episode on Paul Orndorff? What is your favorite Mr. Wonderful moment? Everybody talks about the Hogan angle. Mine would be any promo with Mean Gene. I did an entire 15-minute segment on the podcast today, on the full podcast, episode 713, on Paul Orndorff. And that is going to be hitting the YouTube channel tomorrow. So you will get a full segment on Mr. Wonderful. I talk about the Hogan angle. I talk about a whole bunch of different things. His promos with Mean Gene, the ones where he would crack up Mean Gene, were funny. I remember one famous segment, I think it aired on Tuesday Night Titans, where he's in the gym with a bunch of like older women trying to whip him into shape. And he is just, I mean, he is mercilessly mocking these like fat women and calling them fat and pigs. And just like the kind of stuff that you would never see on television today, but it is fucking hilarious. The whole segment's on YouTube. It's like 8 or 9 minutes long. If you've never seen it before, you type in like Mr. Wonderful type in Paul Orndorff like gym or something. It's probably going to be the first thing that comes up. It is hilarious. It is hilarious. That's my type of humor, but it would never fly today. It would never, ever fly today. Oh my God. Can you imagine the women's groups that would come after them for that? They're not fat. They're big boned. He's a heel. He was a heel who said heel things. There's nothing wrong with that. Danny Garcia. Met Jason on his birthday at Raw 2014. Anyway, keep up the fantastic work. With Cena's return, now they have me hooked for a Vegas trip. Well, you better prepare for 120-degree heat. Vegas in August. I've been to Vegas in July. and that was bad. So I can imagine Vegas in August. Sounds like hell on earth. DeMonte 24 was at Money in the Bank tonight. The Cena return pop was legendary. They messed up with Nikki Ash. We booed her heavily for winning. Really? See, on television, it came across like a big pop. But her entrance, people definitely were not, you know, cheering their heads off for her. Naomi, I thought, was the best part of that whole match. And Liv Morgan was clearly the crowd favorite. Liv and Alexa were the two crowd favorites in them. And they liked Asuka, too. But, yeah, I got the sense that people would have popped huge if Liv Morgan would have gotten the win. Chambly Games with the $10. Peacock is trash, but Money in the Bank was not. Love the show, and I hope SummerSlam is just as good. Jacob Barnes, of course, Peacock had to stop working during the men's ladder match, which is what I was looking forward to the most. Peacock blows. EJ Slemp, if Goldberg is not wrestling Riddle, then let him squash and embarrass Morrison in 10 seconds only because Miz is hurt. That would be entertaining. Lucas Prether, Charlotte's reign of terror is inevitable. Moose, I talked about Moose during the Slammiversary review and how ridiculous I thought it was that Moose got rolled up and pinned by Chris Sabin at that pay-per-view last night. What a joke. Is this what they've been doing with Moose? Because I don't watch Impact week to week. I thought I would tune into Slammiversary, and the last I saw Moose, he was catching fire as one of the big baby faces in the company, and then I see him being rolled up by Chris Sabin. What the fuck happened to Moose? This is what he re-signed for? This is what he stayed with Impact for? Anyway, Moose says, I wish they would have followed up on the Mania 36 Firefly Funhouse match with Cena. Doesn't matter, I suppose. But that is part of the problem with the show. That's true. We had not seen John Cena since the Firefly Funhouse. I guess it took him about a year and a half to, you know, work his way out of the Funhouse. He finally found his way out. That's why he didn't look any different. He was wearing the same shit that he was wearing the last time we saw him. Wasn't he wearing the green shirt then, too? It looks like he literally crawled out of the Firefly Funhouse and just showed up. His hair got a little bit longer. Manny with the $5. Do you think Nikki will be the first woman to fail at cashing in? I do. I think pretty good chance she'll be the first. I love me some Sova with the $5. Why do they keep adding Charlotte's tag title win to her overall singles title win? Because they have to pad it as much as possible. They want that number up as high as it can be. I'm surprised they don't count, or do they, count her NXT title wins? Because she's got, I think, one or two of those. Anything they can do to pad her record is probably what they would like to do. Hulkling 93, along with Peacock, piped in chants for a live show with fans in attendance sucks. Steve Heredia with the $25. Bakersfield Big Shot here, just dropping by and saying hello. Missed some of the show before because of Peacock. Also, I like Slammiversary from last night. Just wanted to say hello to all of you. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you, Steve. That's very kind of you. Thank you for the $25. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Leon Ruff, Zoe Stark, and O'Reilly all suck to me. And I believe O'Reilly would be booed if he were ever the NXT champion. I pray that doesn't happen. I just don't see Kyle O'Reilly as NXT championship material. I think if they were to give him a win at TakeOver, he would get a great reaction for winning, and it would be all downhill. You'd have to get that belt off him within a month or two. So I'm okay if they want to give him the big emotional win, because they've just been building him up for so long, but I would not keep the title on him for very long. Because to me, he does not scream NXT champion. He ever gets promoted to the main roster, he would be a fine intercontinental champion. I've always seen him at that level. I just don't think... I think you can do better as far as putting somebody in that top championship spot. He's a great wrestler, but not everybody who's a great wrestler is necessarily the best choice and the best fit to be the top champion. It's just how it is. Robert with the $15. It's unfortunate that from the outside, it seems that irresponsible behavior seems to be rewarded for certain individuals. In the No Logic WWE. Appreciate your views and rants on the situation. Jamin John, what's with the storyline behind RVD's 1997 WWF debut? Both him and Jerry Lawler trash ECW that night. That was part of an angle that they were doing. WWF and ECW were working together at that time. They wanted to have some usage of RVD, but they were doing an angle where Lawler was heeling on ECW. He even showed up at the ECW arena. That's all it was. It was just the two companies working together. Turtlehead, belt winner again. I was being essential earlier. He was an essential worker earlier. The belt winner was not you. The belt went off the top of my head. It was Kenji. And Kenji was the winner. But it was not Turtlehead. Chris Manson, thoughts on Walter being the first to debut on the main roster at the Rumble and winning it. That is not going to happen. I love Walter. And I think Walter would be an incredible kind of dominant final boss type heel on the main roster. But I just don't think that Vince McMahon would look at Walter and think that this guy should be pushed to the very top, let alone win the Royal Rumble. I don't see that happening. Look at the way he was used in Survivor Series a couple of years ago. You think they're going to push Walter to the moon on the main roster? He's better off staying where he is and then being promoted to the main NXT brand. Maybe he could be the NXT champion when he drops the UK title. Karrion Kross moves on. Walter can slide right in. In fact, you know what? If you put the belt on Kyle O'Reilly, you call up Walter. You have Walter beat O'Reilly. Start his new run on NXT. Brian Blair with that $50 drop from earlier. If they scaled back the pay-per-views to every other month, do you think it would help build up storylines better? When they had the big four or five back in the day, at least there was adequate time to make a decent story and nothing felt rushed. Yeah, I mean, I love the old schedule when you only had about five major shows each year. But look at what AEW does. AEW only has four pay-per-views. They have a lot of themed episodes of Dynamite, but they only have Revolution, Double or Nothing, All Out, and Full Gear. That's it. Those are their primary pay-per-views. That's the closest thing we have to the old school WWF pay-per-view schedule. You know, even if you tacked on another one or two, that's half of what WWE has now. It would give them more time to build the stories. The problem is, a lot of the stories that they build are no good. Would they be better with extra time? Probably not. They would probably just be dragged out even longer. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I liked it when there weren't necessarily pay-per-views every month. I mean, I like it as a content creator and as a streamer on YouTube, because then I could go live and stream every month for these big shows. But if they were to scale back, I wouldn't cry over that. NWO Elite, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Samoan Fan 101, Money in the Bank has a history of great championship matches. Cena, Punk Bryan, Reigns Rollins, AJ Rollins, among others. Now Edge and Reigns joins them. Yeah, I just talked about that Cena Punk match from 2011 in the history segment today. Jamin John again, Turning Point 2004, Elix Skipper walks the top of the cage, single greatest moment in TNA history. I agree. That is an all-time highlight reel spot. DeQuante. Okay, thank you. I thought I knew I butchered it. I knew I butchered that first name. DeQuante. Do you see The Fiend coming back for a big SummerSlam match? Possible. I mean, it's all hands on deck. That's what gets me thinking that maybe he will be on the show. I don't know what the hell is going on with Bray Wyatt. This guy works like twice a year. It's like, I don't know what's going on with him. I really don't. You know, he gets paid to sit at home and do nothing. He gets paid to sit at home and be with JoJo. you know what? That's not so bad. If you could find that as work, hey, sign me up. I think he'll be on the show. I think they're going to want as many names as possible on that stadium show. I think we'll see the feed. Doing what? I don't know. But I think we'll see the feed. Ken terminated with the 10 bucks. Solid Monster, are you talking about the segment where Piper, Orton, and Orndorff beat up some Mark and Gene said, leave him alone? No. I was not talking about that. I don't even know what segment that was. I was thinking about something completely different. I don't know what show it was from, but no, I was thinking about something different. Andre in the chat says Bray got that Goldberg schedule. Well, there's one very big difference. He's got the Goldberg schedule, but he doesn't have the Goldberg win streak. And I know Goldberg's lost a few matches too, but Bray loses a lot of his matches. So he doesn't quite have that Goldberg streak, if you know what I mean. Zizou. I cannot be the only one that can't stand Charlotte as the champion. Other than that, great show. Temjin Zephyr. Have you seen Harry Spitz return to WWE on their YouTube? If so, what are your thoughts, and will his second run be any better? I did not see the match. Did they upload the match? I heard he came back. I heard he re-signed. I think he did a tag match with Austin Theory, I believe. I did not actually see the match. I mean, you know, I think his second run has to be better. I mean, they almost didn't do anything with him the first time around. His run really wasn't that great. And I think you probably want to give him a run as a single more than a tag team. So I would think it would be hard for it not to be better than his first run. You know, he's a big guy. He's got size. Second generation wrestler. I'm sure they're going to find something for him to do. Steve Heredia again. Do you believe the Mets can make the playoffs? Also, which match from Slammiversary was your favorite? I enjoyed the Deonna Purrazzo-Thunder Rosa match. So I might actually go with that one. Do the Mets make the playoffs? You know what? It doesn't always seem that way, but I try to be an eternal optimist. I'll say yes. I think they do. Big Kane in the chat. The chair, Secret Lab, it's a Omega 2020. That's the type of chair that it is. Very comfortable. It's got the headrest pillow up here. It's very comfortable. Even if you're not a gamer. Like, some of the gaming chairs, this took me a while to figure out, what do I want? Do I need a gaming chair? I don't game. I need it, you know, here in my little office here to work. It's been fine. You know, I've had it for over a year, and it's been very comfortable for me. They're not cheap, though. I will say that. This was not a cheap purchase. But Matthew Rice with the $5. BT Sport, WWE has a picture of the confrontation with Cena and Reigns with the caption, if this isn't the main event of SummerSlam. So that just confirmed it. Well, we already knew that, though. Granny, hell yeah. What if The Fiend beats Goldberg at SummerSlam? I'll tell you what. If we are being swerved and Goldberg is coming back, but he's not challenging for the title and he's going to wrestle The Fiend and The Fiend gets his win back, I'll be okay with that. That would work just fine for me. And Hulkling93 on the subject of heel saying heel things, why do you feel people get more riled up for that more so than a vile villain in a movie or a TV show? I think it's because wrestling has always just been judged very differently, because it's so different. It's live action. It's not a traditional TV show. It's not a movie. You're not on a movie set. And when these people are not in the ring and on television, you know, some of them stay in character on social media. It's like they're playing their character all the time. So I think people get wrapped up in that and they just think that, you know, they just judge wrestling in a different way. They don't look at it the same way. It's this hybrid mix of all these things, and people don't know. I don't think they know how to react to it. Is it sport? Not really. You know, a little bit. Is it just the straight entertainment television show? Well, I mean, it's a TV show, but it's not in the traditional sense. It's not on a closed set, filmed like a television show. So I just think that they kind of judge it that way. You're live in front of fans every week, and they expect it to be held to a different standard, I guess, you know? Oz and Glorious, dropping $5. Have not caught the pod yet. Do you talk about Jay White? And what do you think is in store for Bullet Club and the Elite? Give King Switch all of the belts. I do talk about Jay White on the podcast. I opened with that. Episode 713. So that'll also be up on the YouTube channel tomorrow, that segment. So yeah, I suggest you go check that out. I talk about Jay White, Bullet Club, all that stuff. Oz and Glorious, thank you again. Steve Heredia, I'm a Dodger fan. I know they won last year, but I know how it feels to see your team suck. Best of luck to them. The Mets, you know, they always do Mets things, but I think they're still in first, right? They're in first place. So, like I said, I'm optimistic that they'll at least make the playoffs, but we're still a little ways away from that. And I believe we're all caught up. Are we? I believe we are. Awesome. Let's check the YouTube poll here. I'll keep this open for a little while longer. We have almost 2,500 votes, 86% thumbs up, 14% thumbs down. And you guys killed it on the likes. We blew past 1,000, so thank you for that. Again, it does help out the channel an awful lot, so I appreciate it. That's why I mention it. So even after we go off the air, you can still give the video a like. It'll still help out. Gets it in the recommendeds on people's sidebar. Always helps out the channel. So we know where the YouTube poll sits. What about the Twitter poll? Where are we at there? All right, a little bit less, about 70% thumbs up. 1,700 votes in. At Solomonster is the place to go to follow me on there. Ken Terminated dropping $5. Shout out to amazing guys like Oz and Glorious and Andre Israel in the chat. Did you get my thank you for informing me about the Mr. Wonderful episode? I did. And again, I highly suggest that you check out the segment. Tried to cover a lot of the key stuff from his career. He really did play a very important role in the national expansion that Vince McMahon undertook in the mid-80s. You know, people think of Hogan, even Piper. You don't really hear Orndorff's name get mentioned with that as much as it should be. So, yeah, I tried to give him his just rewards. I think I did a good job. I hope. Abdul Rahman, it seems that Smiley Finn is back, and that's a big no and a big shame. He was my favorite NXT character since his return to the brand. Yeah, we don't need Smiley Finn. If they brought back Finn Balor to be Smiley Finn, then this is very unfortunate, because Finn was really firing on all cylinders in NXT. There's no reason that character can't work on SmackDown. You know? I mean, Vince McMahon, though, he loves his smiley baby faces. I saw some report online that he told Rhea Ripley the same thing. Smile more. Everybody has to smile for Vince McMahon. Maybe they don't want to smile. Naif, thank you for the $10. Staying up late with us tonight, I see. And Juan Ocampo with the $5. Just got done out of the jacuzzi. Got a 9-hour drive from 10 to, what is that? Illinois? Oh, Tennessee to Illinois. Tennessee to Illinois. Can't wait for the podcast later. Nashville was a blast. And my liver is great. All right, we are all caught up on messages now. It's very late, almost 2 o'clock in the morning, in fact. So we still have over 1,000 people joining. Thank you for sticking with me through the entire stream. This was a lot of fun. Great pay-per-view. Great pay-per-view and a fun stream. I love it. And congratulations again to Kenji, I think it was, who won the contest for the Solomonster replica belt. That belt will be delivered to you this week, courtesy of Wrestle Rumble. And again, take pictures, shoot video with it when you get it. Tweet it over to me, send it to me. And don't forget, we got another contest coming up on Wednesday. I'm going to be live with you again in a few days on Wednesday after Dynamite. And this is it right here. It is the All Out ticket giveaway. Two tickets to All Out in a great section. September 5th in Chicago at the Now Arena. You get two tickets to the show, plus all food and drink at the building is included. It's going to be a good show. You're going to have a great view. And I'm going to pick one winner Wednesday night on the stream. So you have until Wednesday. It says July 20th on the screen. Ignore that. It's July 21st. That's Wednesday. So go to WrestleRumble.com, buy yourself an entry there, get in on the contest. I think that about covers everything. Check out SoundOff 713, 2.5 hours worth, went up earlier today. We'll have more content coming to the YouTube channel this week. All our new channel members, man, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much. I'm always thinking of and trying to work on new content for you guys as well. And with that, be well, stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic week. I will see you for the Dynamite post show on Wednesday and the big All Out ticket giveaway. Until then, take care, guys.